morning, everybody. If you're visiting with us today and I haven't met you yet, my name is Dennis, one of the pastors here as well, and we're glad to have you with us on this great day. It looks sunny out there. I know there are some clouds coming in, but we won't complain about more rain. We'll take that. It's a great day because it's our chance to gather together and to, as Pastor Dustin said, later after the service, at our annual general meeting to look at some of the business of the church, which is one of those things that we get to do and have to do. It's important. But I always enjoy these days because I get to come and talk to you about kind of where we've been and where we're going. And I don't usually have a lot of time because we try to keep this shorter. But I just want to chat with you today about this idea of the vision, the road ahead, our vision for the year to come. Last Sunday, I preached and I was sounding a little froggy. I had been sounding that way for a couple of weeks, trying to battle off that cold that many of you are fighting. Somebody came up to me after the service and grabbed me by the arm and said, very wonderfully and caring, said, "You need a health break." And I said, "I'm getting one. I'm going to Jasper on Tuesday with the grade 7 class from Covenant." And she looked at me and shook her head and walked away. But I tell you, it's my fourth trip over 12 years with the grade 7 class, starting with Hannah's class 12 years ago. And I do enjoy that time. It is a chance to recharge. And I tell you, I didn't realize how much I needed that until I got out there. Our staff this week, we were all over the place. Penny was down at the down at Camp Caroline with the Alberta Baptist Association Leadership Council that she's a part of. And then Dustin and Rudy were down there, along with Lori Hamm, I believe, for the youth pastor, youth worker retreat. And I was off in Jasper, and it is needed in those times just to decompress and just to see something beautiful. As we drove to Jasper, I learned a few things, you know, just once again about the fact for the need to rest. Our first stop, or our first real stop into the mountains, was at Talbot Lake, right along the highway there. Students were asked to get their journals out, and they're going to journal, you know, some pictures and see what they see about natural science, and just sit by that lake for the 30 minutes that we had. It was life-giving for me. And, you know, I'll honestly say, and I'm not saying this to be overly dramatic, I'm just saying it to be real with you. I would say this spring for me, and I didn't really even realize it till recently here, was one of great anxiety for me. And I don't use that word lightly because I know what it is for people to walk in anxiety, and it was true anxiety. It wasn't just stress. I was anxious about certain things. There were days where I just didn't know what to do or how to handle what was before me. It's been one of those years that many great things have happened and many things have happened where we need to just make sure we're doing the right thing. And to hold on to the things that we have been given and entrusted with God for, and to be able to just come before Him and say that we have led through these things well, and that we have managed these things in an important and good way. And like I said, I was really struggling the last couple weeks especially, and I was just looking forward to the trip. And sitting by Talbot Lake there, you know, in the sand dunes, and just sitting there looking over this lake and staring at the wall across from me in this beautiful foothill mountain. I have these moments in life where God just grabs me and says, "Look up in the sky. There are still clouds in the sky." And I don't know about some of you, if you walk through life and life's pretty heavy at times, and you find yourself just literally and figuratively looking down and looking at the next problem or the next situation. And sometimes we just need to stop and look and say, the universe goes on despite us. And that was the joy I had this week. There's some downside to being with 24 grade 7s for 4 days, let me tell you. One of them is when your daughter pops her air mattress and takes yours, and you're sleeping on the lino floor. But I found some nice pads. I also realized in 12 years, it's a lot harder to climb a glacier than it was 12 years ago when I was a little younger. But I'm thankful for the time I had just to sit and to reflect. And it gave me a chance, and I did not, and I'll be honest with you, I knew kind of where we're going next year, but I didn't prepare how I was going to tell you about next year until yesterday because I just wanted that chance just to decompress. What it reminded me of is the fact that we are here not by our choice or our chance. We're here because God has ordained all of this. And I mean all of this. I mean our world, our lives, our salvation, His church, not our church. We gathered together today because people had a vision to bring this about and to gather together. And it's been fun to watch God use it through the 27 years of the life of this church and to see what God has done and what God is doing. And while there's struggles and while there are things that we have to watch very carefully and there are problems we stumble into sometimes and there are things of unity that we need to bring back and make sure that we don't lose the unity that Christ has called us to, we have the privilege of watching God continue to work in our midst. Pastor Dustin bragged about you, our volunteers, and most of you who did not stand should have, because I know when I saw many of you, I won't point out people like the Hams who didn't stand and other people who do so many things around here to allow us to do God's work. God has allowed us to grow, and that's awesome, but with growth comes issues, and with growth comes readapting and making sure that we're doing the things that we need to do. This last year, we talked about building community or building unity through community. And the idea that God has called us to be united. And I don't care what excuse you have to think that you should not be united to somebody else in the body of Christ. It does not exist. And if you think you got a beef against your brother or your sister and you can't walk arm in arm with them, you got to figure it out. So we spent a year digging into that. A year really talking about that, and I would say in some ways it was very awesome, and in other ways it just kind of allowed some stuff to come up, and we've been working on it. But I just say that not to be harsh, not to be heavy-handed, but to say that we have been called to walk in unity in Christ. So this last year, we've been challenged to know what we believe and what we stand for and how we do things and how the church should exist and how we should interact with each other. And I hope we heard those things. Because doing life together in a family is not easy. Doing life together in an extended family this size is not easy. And yet it is a wonderful calling that we've been given. And I want us to hold unswervingly to the task put before us. To love our God and to give glory to Him. If you've ever studied the Westminster Catechism and the shorter Westminster Catechism, the first question that is asked is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is given that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So we've been talking about the how and the what, and we need to come back to the why. Why do we do what we do? Why do we gather together? Why do we work hard to be united? Why do we seek to make sure our teaching is strong and our leaders are good and wonderful and doing the right things and that our servants are free to serve? Because we are called in all things we do to glorify God and to enjoy Him as we do so. All those detailed things are important. And I'll tell you, this last couple years with the building expansion and the fundraising and the growth that we've seen and ministries expanding and volunteerism expanding, there has been a lot of need to make sure that we're doing those things well. And I'm thankful for all of you as leaders and servants and all those who work so hard to make this thing happen. It wouldn't run without you folks. We're going to look at our budget later, and man, we've worked hard to keep our budget as manageable as possible, to keep it within our means, and it's not always been easy. We added a full mortgage on this facility, which added a lot of money to our need to pay every year, and we added a part-time staff person, and I believe we raised our budget for less than 1% to do that. That was not easy. Last year, our budget went up 0.35%. And this year it's a little more because of a number of things. But once again, we put it out there as a vision. We put it out there as a hope. And we take in what we take in and we live within what we get. And yet I'm thankful for the people who know how to put budgets together and know how to watch the finances and know how to put together a spreadsheet and all those things to make sure that we're growing together. We've seen great things happening. This facility has been such a blessing. You may think of it as only a building where you come and drink coffee on Sunday mornings and sing a few songs, but I'll guarantee you, there's a whole lot of stuff happening here in a week. If nothing else, the impact we have had on people's lives and loss through funerals that we host. Now, we do a whole lot more than funerals, but we have had thousands of people through here and cared for in a space that was created to help care for them. We have guest groups come through and be trained and grow. We have our own ministries that are in here all the time. You don't want to know what happens in here on Wednesday night at youth group, okay? Just don't ask. But we have not popped a single sprinkler head off yet. The key word, Don, is yet. But even through a building, God has been honored and glorified. Through the actions of so many volunteers, he's been honored and glorified. And we come that we may do those things. We exist that we might be there for people. We got a beautiful thank you note from a family that had a funeral here a few weeks ago, just saying thank you for your amazingly beautiful space for us to say goodbye to our loved one. So we exist that people may be cared for and that people may be reached and that the gospel may go out, but we exist ultimately that God would be glorified. I want to read to you from, and I don't have this Owen on the screen, so don't go looking for it. But this is the doxology at the end of chapter 11 of Hebrews. It's kind of where Paul is making a transition in thought here. And he brings out this doxology, and it's a kind of a conglomeration of Isaiah and Job and a few other things. But just listen to these words in Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I just think that deserves an amen. Amen. For him, from him, and through him, and for him are all things. Our goal is to bring glory to God in all things. So we exist as a congregation of the greater church of Jesus Christ, not for our own fun, not for our own programs, not for our own growth even, but all those things are done that we might bring glory to God. Now, the passage I do have on the screen, and I would ask that you bring your Bibles out and open them up if you have them, is one that we read a lot. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Many of us know this passage well. We've heard it. We've preached on it. We've talked about it. We've used it as our own benediction quite often. But in this passage, Paul is reminding us that we need to be like Christ. And ultimately, Christ did what he did and accomplished what he accomplished and does what he does and accomplishes what he accomplishes. For one thing, that every time that the name of Jesus is taught or that the name of Jesus is learned or that the name of Jesus is uttered, something special happens, and it's called God getting the glory. So let me read these words to you. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the other. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All that we do, all that we strive for, every time we try to be Jesus to somebody else, it is good in and of itself, but it is great because it brings glory to God in the end. So we should be like Jesus, but we do so that we might bring people to Christ and to understand his name and to glorify his name, that God the Father himself would be glorified. I've shared it before. I've had a few people say to me, you talk too much about Jesus, not enough about God. God says Jesus is what I want to hear. Because when you talk about Jesus, you glorify me. It's huge. Looking at our values this week, we don't talk about these enough, but these are our core values around the room, and there's one we've been working on for about 7 years now, and we have one more poster to do. We'll get there. It came in later, but we'll get there. It starts here with direction. I'll go back to fusion in a moment, but direction is that we believe that God has revealed himself to us in the inspired words of the scripture, the 66 books of the Bible. Why do we have the Bible? That God could be glorified by pointing us to Jesus and telling us everything he's done. Infusion, one over here about Jesus. Becoming like Jesus is the natural result of connection with him. I love this. Listen to this. We desire to be a church that is full of individuals who have a living, breathing, walking, talking relationship with Jesus and become more and more like him every day. We want to be like him and become more like him every day. And how do we know what he's like? We hang out with him. We get connected to him. We spend time with him. The natural result of spending time with him is to become like him. In communion on this side, we believe that the redemptive work of Jesus enables humanity to experience the community that God intended. As interdependent parts of the body, our greatest accomplishments are realized only as we work together under the lordship of Jesus. The Bible points us to Jesus. We've become like Jesus. Jesus allows us to walk in communion and community with one another. Inclusion. So through Jesus, love permeates all relationships. We desire to be a church that is excellent in enfolding all peoples into our community, white and black, every nationality and ethnicity, rich and poor, young and old. I appreciate the fact that we are an intergenerational church. Maybe we're not quite so ethnically diverse yet. Looking around. Thankful for my family. Helps balance that out a little bit. And a few of you. But we are pretty one-dimensional at that point, but we can work on that. Nothing against that. But we want to develop people of all makes. Mission. We believe that God created men in his image, the Imago Dei, and as image bearers, each follower of Jesus Christ should find his unique role in the mission of God. We believe that as we grow in Christ-likeness, every human being, irrespective of his past, can experience the glorious purpose for which God has created him. And then compassion is the one that we added. We believe God cares deeply about the physical, emotional, spiritual, mental needs of every person. Therefore, Christ has called us to compassionate service. Compelled by love to live out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus, the church is to care for one another and engage culture by bringing hope to all. So the Bible points us to Jesus. We walk with Christ. In him, we are compelled to build community, to be inclusive of all people, to be on mission for him, and to bring about his work of compassion. So for us, it's really important that we dig into Jesus and lean hard into him. And while we've, not this last year, but the year before, we did Act, Think, Be Like Jesus. So we focused on that, and then we got into some of the things of what we believe through Hebrews and through 1 Timothy and through the Apostles' Creed, and those are all wonderful things. But I love it when we just focus on Christ. This year to come, we're going to be walking intimately with God by digging deep into who Jesus is once again. It's not that we've given up that or walked away from that. It's just we're going to make it our primary focus for the next year. And who is this Jesus? He's a guy who did some strange things. Did some really strange things. Hung out by himself a lot in early mornings. Went away from everybody to be alone with the Father. He hung out with some interesting people. He picked the non-cream of the crop to walk with. He found people in trees. How many people have met a friend in a tree recently? Anybody? Maybe. He found a man up in a tree. People snuck in at night to talk to him. He hung out with the prostitute and the tax collectors, who were pretty much the thieves of the time. He spoke in riddles. He said things that made no sense. Except to his followers who would pull him aside and say, "We don't even get it, dude. Like, what are you talking about? What's the story about?" "Well, let me explain it to you," he said. But in the end, he showed up in people's lives. And he brought the hope that they needed when they needed it, where they needed it. So this year, I don't have a slide to show you this, but this year our theme is A Year with Jesus. The practices, people, parables, and presence of the Son of God. And this year we're going to do something a little different. We're going to try to mix it up a little bit on the preaching. And each month we're going to look at a practice of Jesus, what he did one week. Another week we're going to look at a person that Jesus spent some time with. Some of those stories. Another week we're going to look at a parable of Jesus, what he taught. And then the fourth week, most months have 4 weeks, some have five. And the fourth week we're going to look at his presence. Where is he showing up? September 8th, I believe, is our fall kickoff. And we're going to start with the presence of Christ, because we're going to have Yuri Nakano, our missionary from Japan, with us. And she's going to tell us about what the presence of Christ looks like in Japan through the work of the missionaries there and through the work of the growing church in Japan. But each month, it's not going to be a go through the Bible kind of series, but we're going to be looking at all those different things. So each week it's going to look a little different, but we're going to encourage you to be here and to be a part of that. And the hope is that we will grow deeper in Christ as we do this. That you'll be interested, that your appetite will be wet in a desire to know him better. And I encourage you to really just prepare your hearts and be ready for it. Because the hope is that we'll all know Jesus better. Because we're going to really dig into who he is. And we're all at different points of that journey. Some of you in this room, I want you to crawl to Jesus this next year. You haven't figured him out. You haven't called upon his name. You haven't made a decision to follow him. And you're just struggling in life. And you're one of those people like me that sometimes needs to stop, look in the sky, and realize that the clouds are still there. And they're still moving, and the sun still comes up in the morning, and it still sets in the evening, hopefully in the right direction. That day after day after day comes, and someday he will return, but until he does, we have to understand that he is in charge, and our goal in life is to bring glory to God the Father through walking with and as Jesus Christ did. So I want you to be excited. I want you to dig into it. So for those who need to, crawl to Jesus. Get on your hands and knees with all your might and just start crawling his direction. He'll meet you there. He'll find you because he's been waiting for you. Others of you, you need to really learn to walk with Jesus. You've been walking around Jesus. You've been walking in the vicinity of Jesus. You need to grab a hold of him and walk hand in hand. Don't get all weird on me. That's what intimacy is. It's walking hand in hand the same direction. When you walk intimately, you hold hands so you can't get lost and go two different directions. And we've been called to walk intimately with God. And some of you need to quit just showing up to church and walking around Jesus. You need to show up to church and walk with Jesus. And go home and walk with Jesus. And go to your family and walk with Jesus. And go to your workplace and walk with Jesus. And I'm not telling you to get all preachy and shove it down everybody's throat. I'm just saying, make it real. Some of you who are walking with Jesus need to learn to serve like Jesus. Everything he did showed us how we should live, how we should give to other people. The passage we just read in Philippians 2 talks about if you're going to do anything, do it like he did it. And don't consider yourself the most important thing. Consider others more important. And that's what Jesus did, even to the point of death on the cross. So you crawl to Jesus, you walk with Jesus, you serve like Jesus. And some of you, many of you in here, you're servants. Some of you have been called into leadership in different ministries or will be called into leadership. And told you a few weeks ago we're going to really be taking a long, hard look at leadership development this next year. And we want people who will walk with Jesus, who will serve like Jesus, who will lead for Jesus. People that will give leadership to our ministries in and outside the church to help people learn to crawl to Jesus, walk with Jesus, and serve like Jesus. So wherever you are, whatever level you're at in those four levels or anything in between, the challenge is that you will grow in your knowledge, understanding, connection with, love for, service to Jesus. A year with Jesus. The practices, the people, the parables, and the presence of the Son of God. That's what we're going to be looking at this year. I just want to read this passage to you one more time. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. We're going to wrap up pretty quick here so we can get to our business meeting and not keep you too long. But I just want to read this passage in Philippians chapter 2 one more time. I want you to listen to these words. And as you're listening, think about where you are right now. Are you trying to get up on the knees and the hands and crawl to Jesus? Are you trying to figure out how to walk with him? Are you trying to figure out how to serve like him or to lead for him? Think about what God has in store for you and listen to these words. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. Listen to this part. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every time it's heard, preached, read, talked about, every knee should bow. In heaven, and on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge, or as your Bible may say, confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the ultimate end, to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we have acknowledged the name of Christ today, and out of that we bring you glory. We come to glorify you and to acknowledge you as the creator of all of this, the one who holds it in his hands, the one who had the plan before the beginning to send your son, Jesus Christ, to take on human form and become in our likeness, to bear our sin and our shame, to die on the cross, to rise again, to conquer sin and death, to show us how we should live, and to give us the opportunity to live to glorify you. So, Father, in this year to come, I pray that we would learn to walk in continued unity. We would learn to walk in continual love for one another. And I pray, Lord, that wherever anybody is in this room, whether they are crawling to Jesus or crawling away from Jesus, that they would learn to walk with him. And that we would all be challenged to serve like Jesus. And that, Father, we would lead for your sake and to your glory. We ask that now in Christ's name. Amen.